Yes, Chair the meeting to appoint a presiding member. So, declare the meeting open at 5:32 p.m. And then like to acknowledge the traditional owners. Like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the Kariyarra people, their elders past, present and future, for the betterment of the community and the town of Port Hedland. Recording of attendance as listed. No apologies, no approved leave of absence, which brings us to item 3.4.1, election of presiding member. So the appointment, the process for the election of the presiding member is exactly the same as the process for the election of the deputy mayor, and will be done by ballot if there's more than one nominee. So do I have to ask for nominees? I'd like to ask for nominations for presiding member.
I'd like to nominate Richard Whitwell for the chair.
Thank you. And
I'd like to nominate Councillor Gillingham. I haven't had a chance to speak to you today. If you don't wish to accept it.
Oh, thank you. I was asked by Councillor Hunt, actually, and I did say if there was somebody else nominating, I'd be happy just to nominate for the deputy. So thank you for the.
Can we do the deputy nomination?
We can do the process for this first. I think we can do this one.
Thank you.
Any other nominations for presiding member? No, there being only one nomination, I declare Councillor Richard Whitwell as the presiding member of the Airport Committee.
I thought I could do without that for a while.
So Richard can do that now?
Yeah.
Or he can request you to do it.
I just want to say thanks very much for your confidence in me, but I've just actually picked up this bit of paper, right, and haven't had it really before. I'm still trying to slog my way into the electronic system. I will be in there soon, but I've just had problems with just minor things like passwords and stuff like that, which have sort of kept me out. And probably I'm using the wrong software program or something, which may not help, you know. But I'm going to get in there very soon. Okay. You're right.
Thank you. Someone's got a lovely voice.
You said beautiful fun this morning.
Yeah, we now want to go on with the election of the deputy presiding member, and I call for nominations.
Here's the nomination.
I'm happy if Councillor Arif wants to do what she was wanting to do already when I accidentally stepped in.
Okay. What are you talking about? I'd like to nominate Councillor Gillingham.
Are there any further nominations? I think we can just wait until we get the nomination up here. given that we only have one nomination, I would declare Councillor Gillingham elected.
Thank you.
Meeting held on Wednesday the 8th of October. From, in other words, says, are there any questions from that important meeting? No, sorry. Questions from the committee members at the airport meeting. There was one from Councillor, probably more, sorry. Right. There's one from Councillor Gillingham. And it's in the notes at page 11, and it's 4.2.1. Would you like to speak to that, Councillor?
No.
Sorry, where are we? We don't have to worry, that's just a statement. Okay, and this was just the outcome of that particular one. Oh, right. Yep. Excuse me a minute, you know, this is the first time I've actually done this and I haven't got, I've just accepted this material, so I will improve. Now look, there's an important, this is, we're going to public time now, it's item 5, and there's an important note here before we start that. This meeting is being recorded on audio tape and has an additional record of the meeting, and to assist the minute taking purposes, which may be released upon request to third parties. If you do not give permission for the recording of your participation, please indicate this at the meeting. The public is also reminded that in accordance with section 6.16 of the Town of Port Hedland local law on standing orders, nobody shall use any visual or vocal electronic device or instrument to record proceedings of any meeting unless that person has been given permission by the presiding member to do so. Yep. Yeah. I declared public question time open at item 5.1. Oh, yeah, right, the time. It's 5:40 and does anybody wish to ask a question in the public arena?
Right. I just have one, thanks.
Okay. Would you like to? Oh, is there any? No, there isn't.
Oh, it's nothing.
Right, okay. Would you just like to state your name, where you live, and I think that's all we need.
Maria Jacob, 12 Dowager Avenue, South Hedland. And all I wanted to do was firstly say what a wonderful now has a television screen to keep passengers waiting for their luggage entertainment. But on that basis, could I please ask if there will be new material? Because it seems like
Sorry, yeah. Just excuse me a minute. I can't hear what you're doing. Would you like to come up and we'll be able to hear you better?
Over there?
Yeah, anyway. Yeah, Bob.
So, with regards to the screening, is there actually a program to change the content of that?
Look, I haven't been briefed on that myself, but we're going to pass it on for comment by the CEO and his staff.
Sure.
Okay.
And I'd like to, through the chair, defer that to Manager Corporate Information, Anna Duffy.
So through the chair, the information should be updated on a monthly basis, so we can check with the airport if that's lapsed for November, and if it hasn't been updated, but it certainly updated. It should be on a monthly basis across all of our facilities.
Fantastic. And second question is, could we have an update on when the second exit for the pay booths will commence work? I know we're working on the parking base, but do we have a time frame on whether that project will still be as scheduled this year?
Well, again, I think we take it on notice and we refer it to the CEO and his assistants.
Through the chair, happy to defer that to the general manager airport. We'll take it on notice.
Through the chair, that project has been deferred to the responsibility of the airport and city company as part of planned works for this financial year, or actually this calendar year, or next calendar year, should I say. It should be, certainly the airport and city company has been made aware of the priority of the work for the second exit lane. And has, I guess, taken that on board, but at this point, I can't comment on their program.
Okay.
Just clarifying that, so that's not in the budgeted time frame anymore, it's now being pushed back. Okay.
You're saying that the time frame seems to be pushed out, is that correct?
No, there was a program of works and it was supposed to happen this year, meant this year, but I'm just clarifying that that's not. That is going to happen, or that's not going to happen?
Well, let's put that to the.
Yep, through the chair. That program of works should still take place in this financial year, should the airport leasing company decide to go ahead with that project. Obviously, we've been investing with them on that project, but it's no longer a responsible town works project. It is one that has been pushed over to the responsible airport leasing company.
Cool, thank you very much.
Okay, any further questions from the public? I'll close public question time at 5:44 PM. And we open public statement time. And the time is again 5:44 PM. Yeah, sorry. Who'd like to make a statement? Okay. Would you like to come up here, Gloria,
sure.
A bit closer so we can hear you?
Gloria Jacob, 12 Dowager Avenue, South Headland. Just a statement relating to the second exit, given the clarification just received from the officers. Just to implore council to use their influence to identify to the new lessees the importance of that and the need for that second exit booth, in or to put up sign to try to get the passengers to pay at the booth rather than at that second exit. The problem that has been experienced for many years, and we all know this, is that people don't pay at the booth, they pay at that gate. The gate then gets held up with all the traffic trying to exit. And then when the gate actually doesn't accept the card, the town loses money because some officer just goes and presses a button and the guy goes without paying. So there's twofold, we're losing out on income, potential income. Secondly, you're providing a real bad experience for customers and locals trying to get out of that paid parking area because we're waiting on certain inconsiderate people who don't use the pay booth but want to pay at the stop. So if I could just implore council to use their whatever influence they might have on the lessee companies to implore them to give that a high priority, because we've been waiting for that project for the last 2 years that I am aware of, being that there was was waiting for planning, and now the planning is there, let's get the project done. If we've got any comments on that, it's for the benefit and the better comfort of users of the airport.
Look, again, I'll refer that to the... Just a comment. Right, okay. Look, thank you very much for your comment on that issue, and obviously it's a matter which is still in progress. There's no further statements, I believe, is that right? And nobody else wants to make a statement? Right. So we're closing statements at 46. And we're now going on to item 6 from members without notice. Questions from members without notice. Starts at 5:46.
Thank you through the chair. I just noticed on the internet this week, the computer emails, that there was a lot of to and froing about tender processes for the council with the airport. And I'm just wondering, will we be having some sort of a workshop to actually, I guess it's not the right, maybe the right medium at the moment to talk about things, but I just think we need to have a little bit more information coming back. I'd just like to ask, is something going to happen where we might have a little bit more information given to us, perhaps in a workshop form, because I'm quite sure other councillors, not just the airport committee, might wish to know more. Thank you.
Just refer that to the CEO.
Sure. Thank you. Through the chair, the information relating to that issue was supplied to all councillors via email, and we are looking at that issue further, so there will be more information provided on that.
Thank you. That's all. Thank you.
Could I get some clarification on the statement that was stated by Laurie Jacobs? Exactly what? I'm a bit unclear because I haven't seen that. So they can pay at the. So you don't need to get a ticket. How do they get in there?
No, you need a ticket, but you just put it at the boom gate, rather than at the.
Oh, so you can put a credit card in there.
Mm. Sorry.
Is that right?
Yes.
Through the chair, yes.
And that's what holds everyone up.
And I'll ask the general manager, acting general manager, to help me out. But when you go in, you get a ticket, and when you've got two options of paying, ideally you'd want to pay at the machine, get in your car, and then put the machine, the ticket in the boom gate machine. It opens, but some people either deliberately or they forget, they don't pay at the machine, and then they get to the gate and then they use the credit card.
So can we find out exactly how long that's been like that, and you know, when? Well, are we actually going to pay for that to be done, or are the new lessees going to pay for that to be done?
Through the chair, as the acting general manager said before, that's a project the lessee company will take on board. It's a matter of the timing of when they're doing it.
So they're taking on the cost.
That's right. It's their responsibility.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, presiding member. Just a few questions in regards to the recent volcanic ash developments. How many flights have we had interrupted, and what's the latest predictions or forecast for that?
Through the chair, I'll pass that on to the acting general. Defer that to the acting general manager.
Through the chair, we had one flight cancellation, which was last Saturday. The flight for this Saturday is scheduled. We anticipated that flight will go ahead, but they will be monitoring that situation going forward. But we're anticipating that flight will go ahead with the clearing of ash.
Right. My next question is in regards to, and maybe it can be just taken on notice. Recently, we were involved in filming a vignette for the cruise ship market, and I was just wondering, that cruise ship market vignette, I don't think really refers to cruise ships, though maybe it does, but whether that material could be shown on those wonderful television screens that are at the conveyor belt, because that 15-minute vignette is wonderful in showcasing and marketing the town. Could that vignette be shown at those wonderful television screens that are at the conveyor belts?
Through the chair, I don't see why not. Yep, we can look into that.
So someone's taking that on?
Yeah, we'll, through the managed corporate information, we'll make
wonderful.
Sure it's...
Wonderful. And my next question is just an update on the Christmas decorations for the airport for this Christmas. Just wondering how they're going.
Through the chair, I'll be honest, I'll need to take that on notice. I'm not aware of where they're at. They have been ordered. I think that I'm not sure if they've arrived. Maybe through the acting general manager and through Nat.
Yes, through the terminal operations manager, if I may.
Yeah, through the chair, they've arrived. Install can take place at the end of November.
Might have a photo out there with the airport chairman with the decorations. And finally, just wondering, presiding member, if there's been much interest in the advertisement of the available committee positions for this committee. Just wondering if there's been much community interest expressed.
Like, through the chair again, I'll need to defer to our governance coordinator governance.
Yes, for the chair, we have issued a community notice for an expression of interest for community members. That's also gone in today's paper as part of the headline highlights. And so far, I am aware of two applications that have come in. Yep. However, the nominations are open until the 19th of November, so advertising will continue until then. And I hope that we will get even more nominations by that time.
Thank you.
Mr. Presiding Member, my question is probably a matter of governance in relation to item 7 that you have declared several times or stated several times that you have not read the matter before you tonight, and how will we proceed if you have not read the matter?
Okay. I understand that.
Yeah, I'm just wondering as a matter of governance.
I just have a problem that it was away, right?
I know that. I understand that, but it's a governance issue.
Yeah, I understand that. I understand that. And look, I think that's difficult, but so far the questions have been of a nature which have gone to the executive, right, which haven't required us.
Sorry, through the chair, I'm more concerned about the items that are there and...
Yeah, I understand that. Can you answer?
Through the chair, I'll take some advice from the coordinator governments on how item 7 will work.
Yeah, happy to do so. Through the chair, the option that we have in this case, because we recognise that this might happen from time to time due to committee members' engagements, that the agenda might, or certain items on the agenda might not be ready for, what we have the opportunity to do is to suspend the meeting for 5, 10, 15 minutes, and the presiding member can actually read the item. However, in this case, I would actually suggest that perhaps the acting general manager might want to give the presiding member and the rest of the committee a rundown on the item, just to, in a nutshell, to explain it, and then from there we can proceed with the voting.
Thank you.
Any further questions?
I do. I just want to refer back to the public statement by Mrs. Jacobs. It actually says there that the lessee is going to be responsible for this second machine, and the understanding is that I didn't think that the AMP would be actually taking the facility over until after January. So she's actually asking, it was in the planning, that was meant to be done by the end of the year, so how long is it going to be delayed by?
Look, I'll pull that to the executive.
Through the chair, I'll defer that to acting chairman.
Through the chair, when I was referring to this period, I was referring to this financial period. It's always been planned for this financial period, which ends June 2016. So it will can't say will, obviously, because they need to review it. My understanding is we have certainly canvassed this with the lessee company, and they're aware of the priority, and it is one of the ones that they are focusing on to do within their the first few months of their tenure.
Thank you. And I do have another question. Probably wait until it gets to that item number. No, wait until it gets to the item.
Okay.
Thank you.
Look, we just need to have this. I just want to declaration our members who have given due consideration to all matters contained in the business paper presented before the meeting. Let's show hands. There were four people who did and two people who didn't. And one of those people included myself. Four to two. Four people who did and two people who didn't.
If I may, through the chair, this is not an item that requires voting. So it's a declaration. So it's
okay.
You have to,
that's all right.
Yeah, it goes by a show of hands.
Thank you.
And then, as I've explained, we can all suspend the meeting. However, I was also thinking that under item 10, petitions, deputations, presentations, submissions, this is where the acting manager might want to give his presentation. And then after that, if Councillor Blanco and Presiding Member Whitwell still feel that they need to read the item, they can call it, then we can suspend the meeting. Otherwise, we can go straight into voting. My understanding is that the item is asking for the committee to note the report. So, yes, that's obviously a note, and it's not a binding decision as such at this stage.
We move to item 8 now, and we want this is confirmation of minutes of previous meeting. This is the confirmation of minutes of the airport committee meeting held on Wednesday, the 8th of October. That the airport committee confirmed that the minutes of the airport committee meeting held on the 8th of October are true and correct.
So
obviously,
moved.
That's only for people who were there.
So moved.
The motion was put forward by Councillor Aaron. Moved, right. Okay, and seconded by Mayor Howlett. So, and they would take it that it was carried.
Okay,
raising hands. Oh, right. We've got a. We'll have a vote on it now. Right. So I put it to the vote, and we've got a. So that's passed by. Do we have to record how many votes?
Yes.
Right. So four votes. Well, I can't. I wasn't there. So I can't. Yeah, 4-2. Righty-o. The We're moving to item 9 now, which is announcements by the presiding member without discussion. Now, I'm not in a position to do that today, and I will certainly be putting matters to the committee next occasion when I've got a chance to actually see the workings of the committee. And all right, so the next one is item 10, petitions, deputations and presentation submissions. Now, there is a disclaimer. Members of the public are cautioned against taking any... All right. We would go to the acting... I ask the acting general manager to give an overview of the report.
Thank you, presiding member. The report is, I'll work through the structure of the report, just describe each section as we go through, and we'll just give a brief update on some of the matters that have been actually detailed within the report as I go through. So within this report, there is a business development section which details passenger statistics in terms of passenger growth. I can advise the committee that with some improvements within the reporting from the data system, we now have more up-to-date reporting than has previously been capable, because we used to use the Bureau of Infrastructure and Transport and Regional Economics. But now we actually are able to get systems directly off our billing agency. For the September period, I can report that passenger numbers were down 18.2% on the prior comparable period. And for year-to-date figures, which is the first quarter, they were 18.1% down on the prior comparable quarter. Aircraft movements for September were 5.2% down on the prior comparable period. And for the financial year to date, this represents there is a 10.8% drop in the prior comparable period. So we are still experiencing a bit of a decline coming off the back of the mining boom. In terms of commercial matters and opportunities, this lists a number of matters that have happened during the period. The Red Bend operation has been operating, and we can report operations over the last 2 week period. We did actually go out for an expressions of interest process to try and get a coffee cart operator to operate from the arrivals hall of the terminal. Unfortunately, there were no submissions made, but we did approach a local vending operator to put vending machines within that area. I can report that their turnover has been about $100 a day. They've turned over in the 2 week period of reporting that they have provided us with $2,000, and our fees from that are about $250. So actually quite a successful start. It is a credit card based only vending operation, which I was a little concerned about how that would be taken up, but we're getting a very good numbers through that. And as people become familiar with it, I can only see those turnover figures improving. Raw Hire has also approached us in prior periods and in this period regarding the cessation of their operations. They have ceased operating within the Pilbara and at the airport. They still are obligated to pay their rents and licence fees, but they are no longer paying their trading fees because they no longer trade. We have encouraged them to assign their lease, and they've certainly been investigating this option. The other option is to surrender the lease, but we really don't want to encourage that. We want to encourage another operator, if that is at all possible. In terms of stakeholder communications, I can report obviously that the directors for the operating company have been up and met with elected members and stakeholders in the November period, my understanding was very successful since we're leaving. In terms of airport operations, we did report in the last period a minor incident with a wingtip clearance breach on a works area on the apron due to, let's just call it poor works practices. Internal training has been completed, and a works practice process is in the process of being implemented and documented.
as part of our ongoing improvements, can we identify things of this nature. In terms of bird and wildlife hazard management, we have had one bird strike in this period. That bird strike was a bat that an aircraft flew off late, and it was very dark. We have mitigation procedures in place, but the ARO was unable to see the bird activity at the time due to the darkness of the day at that time. The bat actually survived the encounter, shook itself off and flew away. Our ornithological expert has, which we call Bill the Birdman, he has been up and he has provided a technical report, and we will be meeting with the Director of Works and Services to review that report, because it makes a number of recommendations around the landfill site, short-term and long-term recommendations that we're proposing the establishment of a working group to help mitigate bird activity in and around the airport. In terms of airside maintenance and pavements, the report for the apron strengthening works for the four aircraft bays have been received. We are in the process of reviewing those works. That report will form the scope of a future tender that will go to the market for those works. This is one of the works that we are responsible for. I won't talk to the customer service, except to say that we've had no further reports of activity that is in breach of the terms and conditions of the cafe operators' lease and licences. It was a simple misunderstanding about how they should operate at the airport, which did result in some inconvenience, but certainly I have spoken to their general manager on this issue and have been reassured that there'll be no reoccurrences of that matter. The baggage belt system, we have experienced some congestion and delay to the baggage belt system. One of the key things that we've identified is a lack of staff actually on the baggage makeup area to actually take the bags off the belt to load them onto the trolleys. Certainly we have spoken to North West Aviation Services about this, and we'll be monitoring that to see if that helps improve the baggage belt system. All other technical matters have been looked at to try and make that a better system. Certainly it should be a focus of the airport leasing company going forward as well. During a recent relighting replacement program in the terminal, we did note that a number of fittings were worn and deteriorated, and we are doing a review of those fittings at the moment to ascertain if there are any other lights that will need urgent replacement. The L3 check bag screening system has experienced faults and has required rectification work. The issue with that is when the x-ray goes down, every bag that goes into the aircraft has to be hand-wandered, and every 25th bag has to be reconciled with the passenger, and a physical inspection of the bag has to take place. So when the L3 x-ray system is down, this substantially slows down the processing. The answer to fixing this issue, because it is a dirty power issue from Horizon, and the most cost-effective is to introduce a UPS power unit to smooth out the power to the x-ray system. We have a purchase order has now been issued for that unit, and that unit is of sufficient capacity to rectify that particular fault. That's a reoccurring fault. The air curtains, we are still waiting on quotes on that. The timber work was pretty close to completion, I think, at this stage, and so that will enable us to maintain ongoing maintenance of our air conditioning systems. Sorry, nearly through it all, guys. There's also been ongoing maintenance with the lawn area. There was a number of IH&S issues identified and trip hazards, and we've undertaken some rectification works in that area. We've completed interviews for ARO. Tom actually left today. It was his final day of work today, and he's gone back to Perth for family matters. He's gone to be a new granddad, as I understand it, or something like that. But anyway, we wished him fond farewell, and we've done interviews at his replacement, and we'll be in a position to appoint very shortly. In terms of further passenger traffic report that we traditionally identify within this report, actual passenger numbers for financial year in 2015 were 470,741. And passenger numbers, projected passenger numbers for 16, bearing in mind we've only had one quarter, but projected is 442,568. So we are projecting another 5.98% or an overall 5.98% decline. We're hopeful that we will see stronger figures as we go forward, but it's early days yet on that number. This represents a 28,173 passenger drop for the financial year if it eventuates. Aircraft load factors are sitting at around 56% at present. Just moving on really quickly to the capital works program, the security boundary fence. This is a compliance matter required for our cargo terminal operator status under the new Customs Act, and that work is very close to completion. That is the same for the CCTV and access control. These are requirements placed upon us as an international port with international check bags, sorry, with international freight. And we are required to make these upgrades to maintain that status, and we're working through that. The toilet block that is currently being installed in the international arrivals area, it actually says December 2015. The update I was given on that is actually going to be completed by 21 November 2015 is the deadline date for that. But what I'll do then is I'll jump straight into the just the transition document. Mindful of time, and really just quickly talk to that particular document. So this document is an action tracking document. This document records all activities that are required to be undertaken to complete a successful transfer of the airport and reach financial completion so that the consortium can pay the town its cheque. And as I said, the target date is the 1st of February. Just describing the colours and everything in here. Green means everything's on track and okay. Yellow means slightly behind but recoverable. Red means we're not going to hit the original date. So, for instance, the application for a new aerodrome licence is in red because the original date was November, and that date will now be 1st of February 2016. That's actually not the one that's holding us up, but it is delayed. It won't be issued until December. So there's a number of items through here. The matters of compliance that we need to comply with for the transfer of the aerodrome relate to the transfer of the aerodrome licence. So the new operator has to have a new aerodrome licence. That is treated as a new airport application by the Civil Aviation Safety Authority, and we're working through that process with them now. We have actually made the application. That application will be assessed by CASA towards the end of this month. The second part to that is the transport security program. The transport security program details how we run the airport from a security perspective, and a new one needs to be written for the airport operating company and to enable them to take that over. The third part to this is a screening authority application. So we are the screening authority and we run the screening program, albeit that we outsource to MSS as our security service provider. The screening authority application requires transfer to the airport operating company, as does matters such as radiation licences and the like. Now, there are a number of documents that hang under this compliance. There's the Bird and Wildlife Hazard Management Plan, the firearm licence, the Drug and Alcohol Management Plan, there is the Terminal Emergency Plan, the Emergency Plan, the Safety Management System, and the like. And all these documents require updating as part of that process. We have had things that are actually highlighted in bold are things that have actually been completed in this document. So the Western Australian Planning Commission approval, which is for the 50-year lease, has actually been given to both the OPCO and to the town. The issuing authority for the identification card, that has been waived because we actually outsource that and there's no need to actually, all we've done is sought confirmation that the existing contractors will continue to provide that service, and they've confirmed that, and the operating company has accepted that. We have been liaising and coordinating with Aerodrome Regional Firefighting Services, Strat Air Services, Local Emergency Management Committee and the like as part of this entire process. What I'll do, I know I'm sorry I'm rushing through this, but quite a lot to get through. I will just dodge all of the stuff that's really coordination and the like, except to highlight that the Department of Infrastructure and Regional Development, we have had confirmation from them. There is an aerodrome deed when the aerodrome was transferred to the town. Back in 1991, an aerodrome deed was issued by the Department of Infrastructure and Regional Development to allow us to run the aerodrome. That deed has certain requirements placed upon us, and we have sought and been given confirmation that those requirements can be passed on to the airport lessee company by the department. That's been completed as well. There is also a letter of agreement with Air Services Australia, which details how we interact with each other on the airport, how we manage things from an operational perspective. So they're responsible for the aviation network. That agreement has been agreed to be held over on a monthly basis until operating company's up and running, and then they will finalise that agreement with the airport operating company. It's just recently expired. In terms of contracts, there are a number of contracts that need to be novated or simply transferred. Those contracts are listed through this document as well. There's an MSS contract that needs to be novated. There's AFDATA and AFDATA, which is essentially our billing agency that provides all our billing for our passengers and MAC tow charges. And there's a number of other matters here as well. Solar farm, so on number 66. I know I'm sort of skirting through this pretty quickly, but the solar farm, that is yellow because that has been put on hold, subject to, I guess, a final review by the town, but it's that one is unlikely to proceed. Obviously, the operating company has been notified of this, and they may take the matter up themselves in regard to this. In terms of the corporate services, can I call it that? Said the corporate services side of the transition to the new operating company, the town is entering into an agreement with the operating company to run the corporate services for a short period of time while the operating company employs relevant key staff.
Which number is that, by the way?
See, administration.
The law.
Yeah, it's all of that down there, but that's all listed because they're all the matters that need to be transferred or considered as part of the process. This agreement enables the town to provide services such as providing a mind your own business type system that will be a standalone system, and the town will provide billing, accounts payable, records, management, payroll and the like for a period of time, with the intention that the airport operating company, once it's operating, will seek to employ certain key employees to undertake those tasks. Currently all those tasks are undertaken by the town, and so the airport itself actually doesn't have that structure at the moment. So the town gets a fee for that, an ongoing fee. Did I miss IT? IT systems, there are a number of matters that need to be considered with IT systems, and one of the things that is currently being worked through is the establishment of a Microsoft Office program for the operating company, plus internet and email exchange. Telephone services and the like. Quotations have been sought, proposals have been put to the operating company. We expect that matter to be resolved very quickly. The operating company actually needs to have all of those systems up and running from day one.
So we're talking about item 72 here.
72.
Right. But that's been completed in September.
That's not been completed, that's commenced in September. There is no completion date.
Commenced in September. Oh, right, so it hasn't been completed. Sorry, reds and black ones I'm a bit confused with. But okay. But when do you expect to complete them?
I expect this to be completed before the end of the year.
Which is June?
No, end of this year. So end of this calendar.
End of this calendar year.
December.
Right.
When I say completed, ready to go, because we can't switch on the actual process until completion. So just to be really clear, we will have agreements and contracts in place for an IT system, for emails, for Microsoft, but the OpCo won't actually have any of that up and running until 1 February when it is the operating company of the airport, because it won't exist until that time.
1 February. So you're at the moment looking at the handover and the completion of the contract on 1 February or 30th of January?
1 February is
31st.
Yeah, 1 February is a Monday, so 1 February was a target date at the moment.
Right.
If we can do it sooner, we'll do it sooner.
So, when you're looking at all these things that you've got here in red, and they're targeted February 16. You're saying that's really targeted 1/16, is that right?
Yeah, our target date is 1/16.
Right, okay.
I could just highlight February in here.
Yep.
Because it is a target date. But that's the target date we're working to in terms.
1 February.
And they're highlighted in red primarily because those dates were earlier. When the original decision was taken and transaction documents were signed, we set a date of about mid-November as the initial date that we thought we would target and try and get everything done. But as it's transpired, because of the complexities of this transition, we've required more time, particularly in around the OTS approvals process, because it was a complete rewrite of the TSP, because they changed the regulations. So some of the matters were more complicated than they would ordinarily have had to be in this process. But working through the diligence. And OTS also have 60 days to make a decision, which is a statutory requirement on their part. And they've told us they'll need the full 60 days.
Do you mind if we ask some questions in between, or do you want to finish?
Absolutely.
Right.
I've got one. Can you tell us, you've got the green, red and yellow, but further on there's nothing, it's blank on a lot of these. What does that mean?
Sure, if I can draw your attention to the left-hand column with the headings, with the bolded headings, what you will see is completion and post-completion. So a number of these matters haven't started yet because we're not at completion or we haven't reached post-completion stages. But for completeness, this document covers those stages as well. So for instance, if we're looking at completion documents, we need to be able to deliver to the lessee company all existing licences and leases. We don't physically actually start that until completion, and we deliver it on that date. So there's no.
Yeah. So would I suppose all of that stuff would be ready to go right now, would it?
Yes, we've actually done the audits in terms of things like keys and things like that, and we know it's all there, so that's ready to go. We know the leases and licences are all here in town. We know they're ready to go.
Wouldn't that mean looking at this? Wouldn't that mean it would be green all the way up to the last box?
Oh, well, I've just taken a view that we haven't started.
Okay.
But that's a good point.
Through the chair, if I may. With the 72 IT systems, so at what extra cost would that be to council? And what companies will be outsourced to do that work? Because I guess it's an in-house operation, but as council already outsource all their work to other companies, so which companies would be outsourced to for the IT to be all put into place and all the Microsoft programs all working and up to standard by whichever completion date is required?
Through the chair. Yeah. Sure, all the outsourcing will be paid by the OpCo because it's all OpCo related, nothing within terms of like Microsoft or Telstra. None of that will be through the town. The town is assisting OpCo in establishing those quotes and getting that set up, obviously because the town is obligated to assist OpCo as part of the process, as part of what's been agreed. So the only cost to the town would be the IT manager's time at this point in time. The town is being recompensed from completion for a sum of money, which is not insubstantial, which will cover a range of services that the town will provide, as previously described, around accounting functions and the like.
So, through the chair, so is our IT department just overseeing somebody else doing all the work for the IT?
Depends, through the chair, it depends what you're describing. If I can lay it out, the IT department is overseeing the establishment of the contracts. The contracts then become the operating company's responsibility. So if it's Telstra, then all the telephones and such like, but I think it's going to be voice over. The data connections is just facilitating the quotes. OpCo's actually provided its own quotes as well, but we're sourcing local quotes to try and get the most competitive rate for OpCo. And obviously we're interested in getting locals involved if we can. That process is currently underway. At completion, that would be the operating company's sole responsibility. there will be an ongoing relationship through the services agreement for a period of time for the services of the IT manager, but that will be recompensed for that. So that's based in that whole fee structure. Look, and into the future, should there be an ongoing relationship for IT support, I focus on that one in particular because that's a tough one, then that would be potentially a service basis, but that hasn't been discussed at this stage. That's just something that is a possibility.
Yeah, through the chair, that was what my next question was going to be, that if it had to be outsourced, then could they look more locally? Because at the moment, most of our IT within our council is actually outsourced to outside of the Pilbara. So, yeah, thank you for that anyway. Thank you.
Okay.
Any other questions now, or would you want to wait until the end?
I was waiting to the end.
Yeah, right.
In terms of the other, just looking down at anything in red, by the way, in the second column are what's called conditions precedent. They need to be met in terms to actually complete the transaction. Another one is the appointment of an environmental expert to undertake a baseline contamination report. That baseline contamination report, I'm actually expecting to receive that this week. That
just excuse me a minute. Could you mention when you come on to the next item, which item you're discussing, like item 90 or whatever?
Yeah.
Right. It really would help.
Yeah. So item number 78, contamination baseline report. RFQs are going to be called. The documentation I'm expecting to receive at the end of this week. And that will go to a designated set of Walga panel members that have been designated through the lease transaction process. And then once that appointment is finalised, that will satisfy that condition precedent.
What's RFQ?
A request for quote. As mentioned previously, coming down to item 81, the West Australia Planning Commission approval for the operating company has been received and that condition precedent has been satisfied. Actually, it should be involved. There's another one here, novation deeds on item 84, novation deeds for existing subleases. There are 13 subleases and licences that need to be novated, and I've actually received those deeds today. And I'll be going through the process of getting those deeds approved by the relevant tenants in the first instance and then executed by all relevant parties. I've just realised that we're running out of time, so and then we're straight into completion, so there's no further updates on completion or post-completion, which is from item 86 onwards. So that completes my...
Right. Does anybody want any additional time to consider this report? Disclaimer, members of the public are cautioned against taking any action on the committee decisions on items on today's agenda in which they may have an interest until formal notification in writing by the town has been received. Decisions made at this meeting can be revoked pursuant to the Local Government Act 1995. Now we go on to... Yep. I'm going to read item 11, reports of officers. The Office of CEO, the Airport Management report, and it was given by... No, I don't need to do that. There is a recommendation, and... we need to vote on it by simple majority is required. That the airport committee notes that the airport man, of that notes the airport management report the airport committee notes the airport management report, and I'll put... is there any clarification needed on this report?
Yeah, I have one point of clarification.
Yes.
On page 19, with the new toilet block, what was the total cost of that design and construct on the tender?
Can I put that to the CEO, please?
Yeah, through the chair, I'll put that to the acting general manager.
Through the chair, $357,000.
Okay, and was that an unbudgeted item or a budgeted item? Because I didn't see it in the...
Through the chair, they came out of the terminal precinct budget.
Terminal precinct budget. Thank you. No problem.
Councillor Blanco.
How many tenderers were? How many people applied for the tender on the toilet block?
Through the chair, again, I'll defer that to the acting general manager.
I would have to take that one on notice, through the chair, but that process was handled by our manager of assets. Sorry, her title changes, but she ran the tender process, and I'm not aware of the actual number, but not off the top of my head.
We'll take that on notice and get back.
Okay,
we'll
take that on notice and get back.
Can I just ask will that be presented in the next agenda item, the answer to that, or will we get it?
I believe through the chair we can get that out before that to all elected members.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
If there is other tenderers that tendered for the toilet block, can we have are we allowed to have their pricing on what the tenders were?
Through the chair, I'll need to check that. Again, I'll take that on notice and we'll provide whatever information we can.
Okay.
Through the chair, there's no further points of clarification. I'm happy to move the officer's report.
I've got a seconder. It's council. I'm just trying to get the surname right these days, Julie. Arif, that's right. Is that right?
You can say right. Either way.
Seconder. So the seconder. Yes. Yeah. Moved. Councillor Gillingham, and seconded Councillor Arif. And I now put the matter, or the motion, or the recommendation to a vote. No.
Yes. If you ask if there's anyone against.
Is anybody against this motion? To declare the motion carried. 6-0. We're going to item 12. Late items as permitted by the presiding committee, or the presiding member stroke committee. Are there a nil? Item 13, motions which previous notice has been given, there are nil. Confidential items, item 14, there are nil. Item 15, application for leave of absence for the next airport committee, is there any applications for leave of absence?
Through the chair, do we have a date for that next meeting?
Through the chair, we do. We're proposing the 8th of December.
Yep.
No leave for myself, thank
you. And we move on to 16. Attendance by telephone. Are there any applications for attendance, instantaneous communications? nil. This is the closure. Item 17, closure of the meeting. The day of the next meeting will be 8th of December. If there's no further business, I close this meeting. At 6:36.